To our guests, as always, we are honored by your presence. We thank you for having chosen the Southeast Church of Christ to come and worship together with us. As always, we are encouraged by your presence. And if you have not yet done so, we humbly ask, if you don't mind, if you would be willing to share your contact information with us and maybe stick around a few minutes and have a conversation with us so we can get to know one another. If you have yet to obey the gospel, if you'd like to know more about God's plan of salvation or about the Church of Christ, please don't go home with those questions. We would love to begin a biblical conversation with you, and for your Bible questions, we will give you Bible answers. So we hope and pray that you'll be willing to stay a few minutes after our study tonight. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to the book of Proverbs. So we've been seeing the first few verses of chapter 2 for several weeks now. And we've been able to see, of course, the benefits of listening to the voice of wisdom. We see, and it's interesting because there's one thing that I want to point out in this. In these chapters of Proverbs, it's interesting because the transitional verses are not usually as traditional as it would in other language or another types of writing. And part of that is because of the poetic style, right? The Hebrew poetry that uses the systems of parallelisms. But pay attention to the fact that here in chapter 2, verse 5 is the first transition to verse in chapter 2. In verses 1 through 4, we have the if statement. And then verses 5 through 8, we see the then statement. So in the first eight verses of the chapter, we have an if-then statement. You can make that as a cause and effect, right? If you do this, then this will be the result of what you've done. So in verses 1 through 4, if you seek diligently for wisdom's voice, if you seek for wisdom herself diligently, sincerely, if you hunt for her, remember we saw that word, right? Well, verse 5 transitions into then you will understand the fear of the Lord. And I'm going to add another then to make the emphasis of the then statement of the if, right? Then you will find the knowledge of God. So notice, if you seek wisdom, if you diligently search for wisdom, if you seek it with a great zeal and a great desire, then and only then will you actually find the source of wisdom. Now this is important because when we read in James chapter 1, we see that in verse 5 and verse 6, the inspired James tells us that we are to pray for wisdom. However, there, James is not saying that divine illumination will take place. Who can tell me what divine illumination means? What is that? What am I referring to there?
Direct operation of the Holy Spirit upon an individual.
Very good. So when we refer to divine illumination, it is similar to saying revelation, right? God is no longer going to reveal to us in a miraculous way His wisdom. Furthermore, pay attention to the fact that we have to search for it, which as we've already studied, it means that we have to, well, study, right? We have to search in scriptures. We have to diligently search daily because we want to grow. So notice that verse 5 says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Verses 6 through 8 is an explanation of what that means. What does it mean to understand the fear of the Lord? And what does it mean to find the knowledge of God? Well, when it says that we understand the fear of the Lord, we realize why it begins by respecting Him. Why becoming wise starts by giving God honor and due respect. We mentioned already James once. Go with me now to James chapter 1. Now I want to bring something to our attention that as I was meditating on this came to my mind. James chapter 1. Now remember, verse 5 and verse 6 teaches us about asking for wisdom, but asking with faith. But then notice when we come back to verse 17. Now remember, verses 12 through 16 is teaching us why the trials are good in our lives, what it is preparing for us for. It's building up that stamina, it's building up that endurance to be able to resist temptation, which is aiming to destroy us, right? After we've done that, pay attention to verse 17. Every good gift And every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now, notice, how did he bring us forth? By the word of truth. What are we praying for in the context of verse 5 and verse 6? Wisdom. Where do we obtain this wisdom? Through the knowledge and the understanding of God's word, right? So then verse 19 and verse 20, it is talking in reference to what we just read in Proverbs 2:5. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. There is understanding, the fear of the Lord. You see, if we seek wisdom, we know that we've obtained wisdom when we listen to God first before we speak. Why? Because we have learned that He is the source of wisdom, because every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation. So the advice that he gave, you know, Noah back in his time is still the same advice that he gives us today. It won't change. It won't change. The end goal is always salvation. When we understand that the way that Noah succeeded in being saved was by first listening to the instructions that God gave him. Questions, how many questions did Noah ask when God was giving him instructions on what to build and how to build it? The Bible doesn't say if he asked any questions, does it? In fact, the Bible gives us the idea that Noah simply did as he was told. Let's go further back. Did Noah question what rain was? Did he question God's commandment of, what do you mean there's going to be water from the skies? He didn't know what it was, but he believed it. Hebrews chapter 11 tells me this, doesn't it? Hebrews 11 tells me that by faith, Noah did as he was commanded, right? Notice, he was swift to hear. He paid attention. He knew who it was that was speaking to him. And he trusted that he who was speaking to him was leading him in the right way. Let every man be slow to speak, slow to wrath. Before we start arguing against God, before we start arguing against his word, before we start throwing a temper tantrum because I want to live life my way, it's my life, my body, my rules, right? That's the way the world thinks. Well, he who is wise understands it isn't my life because it was a gift from God. It isn't my body because God gave my body with a purpose in service of his. And they are not my rules because this body, along with this life, do not belong to me. They are on loan. Therefore, my life as well as my body belong to my Creator. Verse 5, once again, if you understand what the fear of the Lord is, and you know who the Lord is, then you found wisdom. Then you found wisdom. So when we go back to Proverbs chapter 2, right? We see that in verses 6 through 8, verses 1 through 4, we're searching. We're hunting. The transition of verse 5, you found it. Here is how you know that you've arrived. You understand, you will understand the fear of the Lord, and with it you will find the knowledge of God. Thus, it leads us, verses 6 through 8, to these blessings. It leads us toward these blessings that are found in following the counsel of God, in following the guidance of God. Again, James 1, right? Verse 17 through 20. In fact, you add verse 21 and verse 22, what are we supposed to be of the Word? Supposed to be doers of the Word. Well, verses 6 through 8, they're all actions, aren't they? This is where we put it into practice and we're applying the wisdom that we gain from God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. In other words, I know who to go to search for advice. I know who to turn to and who my instructor is. As Paul told Timothy, I know in whom I've believed. Verse 7, He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. The reason I live my life by the code that God has given me is because I understand that now I represent Him. That my wisdom is a representation as well as it is a witness against those who are fools enough to say there is no God, right? And then verse 8, He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of His saints. He makes sure that our foot is firm, that it will not slip. Whenever we want to go into temptation, whenever we want to give in to our weaknesses, it is the Word of God that holds our foot firm, doesn't it? What is the book of written to the Colossians chapter 2 tell us in regards to having a strong foundation? We are to be what? It has to do with our feet. It has to do with us being solidly founding on Christ. What is the word the Apostle Paul uses there? Well, he says that we are to be rooted. We are to be rooted in Christ Jesus, doesn't he? Well, if we are to be rooted in Christ Jesus, what do roots do? Where do roots go? And why do they go deep into the ground?
They'll take hold and won't be uprooted.
Okay, they'll take hold. Did you know that roots follow water? So many times when roots go deep into the earth, it's because it's searching deep and pulling into the water that it could find. See, the reason we are rooted in Christ is because Christ is the source of life. But the deeper we go into His Word, the deeper we become when we are rich in His knowledge, Colossians chapter 3, right? Then our roots, because they're following that water source. But one of the benefits of a deep-rooted system in a tree is, as our sister just said, it will be able to tie itself firmly to the earth and it will not be easily uprooted, will it? That's why it's difficult to remove a tree along with its roots that's sitting next to a riverbed, isn't it? That's why it's very difficult. In fact, many times they have to cut the tree at the roots and leave the stump there because the roots are too deeply tied into the earth. So pay attention to the fact that in verse 8, it is telling us, it gives us that strength, it gives us that stability. It teaches us how not to easily stumble. It's not a guarantee that we will not stumble, but it is telling us that we will have a stronger probability of resisting wickedness, right? So when we see what happens if we search for wisdom, then we will understand the fear of the Lord. We will find the knowledge of God, and by doing so, here is what it leads us to. It leads us right into the source of wisdom. It leads us into a representation of that wisdom in our own lives, verse 7, and it leads us into stability, a stable life, a life that is stabilized by the wisdom of God. This is what wisdom leads us toward, what it leads us to. You know, think about it in terms of a horse, right? That horse that is thirsty, or we'll use the example from the book of Psalms, that deer that is thirsty, that is searching for the water brooks, right? Well, when we find wisdom after we've searched it, we are led to that source of water that is God, right? Brother Kevin?
I was thinking about your definition of wisdom, knowing the end before the beginning starts or before the beginning. And you're talking about the wisdom of God. The people of this world have no idea what happens after death. They have no idea what the future holds. They make up things. They lull themselves to sleep at night with false visions of what it might be.
But only through the Word of God do we see into the Hadean realm, as Jesus showed us, or to see at the end of time, as he spoke about. That is wisdom, seeing the end before the beginning.
Mm-hmm. And it's amazing, right? Because if you go to John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39, okay, John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39, notice the parallel we can draw with what we are seeing in Proverbs 2, 5 through 8. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." There is understanding the fear of the Lord. There is knowing his knowledge, right? "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified." So we have to understand that in this passage, it is talking about the miraculous, isn't it? But can it still apply to us today? Well, not the miraculous part, but we can flow with the waters, the living waters, right? Or the rivers. We can flow with the rivers of living water in the form of biblical scriptural knowledge. And Romans 1:16 and 17 teaches us that it is the Word of God, right? That it is the gospel that is the power of God. But we always have to understand verse 17. We cannot leave verse 17 out of it, because verse 17 describes that power. It says that in the Word of God, what is revealed? Or rather, who is revealed? Romans 1:17, if someone has it. What is revealed? The righteousness of God. Well, that's water, isn't it? A soul that is thirsty for justification, a soul that is thirsty for forgiveness, a soul that is thirsty for mercy, and as our brother was stating, a soul that is thirsty for what will happen when I die. He receives it at the pool of God's Word. Paul tells us what the gospel is, but in verse 17 he tells us why it's the power of God. Because from it, the righteousness of God is revealed. That gives us that refreshment, that drink of cold water to our parched tongues, isn't it? So it leads us to this pool of wisdom. It leads us to this refreshing pool of security, right? But then we find our second transitional verse. Our second transitional verse in verse 9. And now notice, once again, it's another then statement. So if you hunt for wisdom, then you will be led to. But notice verse 9. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. Well, at first, I'm going to understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. So the verses from verse 5 and verse 8 is the very first fruit is I have a better understanding of who God is. But now, verse 9, I have a better understanding of my relationship with those around me. I have a better understanding of how I am to conduct myself with my fellow man. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. I'm going to be able to tell people apart. I'm going to be able to tell where I'm supposed to walk that leads to life, and where I'm supposed to avoid because it leads to death. In verse 10, in verses 10, through 19, what we see is that when we find wisdom, we read about where wisdom leads us away from. Now, pay attention to this. Proverbs 2, 1 through 4. Search for wisdom. Search diligently. Search zealously. Treasure hunt, right? 5-8. When you search for her, it will lead you to a better understanding of who God is and what He desires for you. Verse 9-19. But as wisdom leads you to God in godliness, or let's say it this way, to God in holiness, it is at the same time leading you away from. See, as wisdom leads you to God, it's also leading you away from. Now let's read what is leading us away from. When wisdom enters your heart, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. It's leading me away from danger, isn't it? See, in verse 11, we see verse 9 is starting to unravel for us. Verse 11 is a proof, or it is teaching us what the meaning of verse 9 is. How do I know that I understand righteousness and justice? How do I know I understand equity and every good path? You learn how to use discretion. What is discretion? Brother Zach, what is discretion?
Discretion is paying attention to what you're doing and thinking about what you're doing. And is that in accordance? Is that in accordance with God's word? So you're trying to, that's like pre-thinking before you act.
Okay. So when a doctor gives you pain medication, right? What word do they use in reference to how to use it? Use it at your own discretion. What do they mean by that?
Use some intelligence before you
take
it. Use caution.
Use caution, use intelligence, right? Why do they use it with pain medication?
Because you become addicted to it.
Because it is addictive. It's addictive in nature, makes it dangerous. It is a necessary use, right? So then, if I know that it's addictive, and I know that I'm supposed to use discretion as far as how to use that medication, what will determine if I'm using my discretion properly? If I use proper discretion, will I become addicted?
No.
Why?
So
because you use discretion, right? The discretion manifests itself in the fact that I use it, number one, only when absolutely necessary. And number two, following the doctor's instructions to a T. If the doctor tells me, if you are in pain, take one every 8 hours. Well, if I use it only when I'm in pain, but if I say, no, I'm going to take two, because I don't want to get out of the pain immediately, I'm not using discretion, am I? And by doing that, what did I just do? I'm no longer using wisdom, am I? What am I being? Because I'm giving in to pain. I'm being short-sighted, says the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, right? I'm being short-sighted because in the moment I'm taking the two pain pills because I'm only thinking about the pain in that moment. But going back to what Brother Kevin was saying as far as the definition of wisdom, what end am I not seeing?
The addiction, or that you're going to run out.
That's actually a valid point. Number one, I'm not looking at the fact that in the near future, I'm going to run out of it and I'm going to need more of it. Because only a select amount limited amount was given to me. But even worse, number two, I may not be in pain now, but I'm going to be in a greater pain later. You see how discretion will preserve? You see how it leads me away from wicked decisions? Because I am discerning. I'm using a sound judgment. I'm putting on a balance, and I'm trying to weigh the options as I once more try to see the end before it even begins. You know, I was last Wednesday, as you know, I wasn't here because of the procedure that I had. There was a prep that I had to take. And the instructions that I were given were to drink it every 15 minutes. That was torture. And toward the end, on the following morning, I had like this much left, and I had already drunk the 8 ounces that I was supposed to. There wasn't even 8 ounces left. And I was tempted. I was like, man, let me just get it over with in one take and I'll be done. But then I thought and I realized, but if I do that, what if it does something that I'm not aware of and it forces me to start all over again? Man, just another 15 minutes, it's all you gotta wait. Just the final 15 minutes, even if it isn't 8 ounces that is left over, just, man, you've come this far, why fall short on the last round? After the procedure, the doctor actually congratulated me. He told me, man, you've been one of the easiest and fastest procedures we're able to have because you were very, very in and out. You were completely clean, man. Did you eat anything? Just some green nasty Jell-O. But other than that, did you even eat a cracker? I'm like, nope. All I had was water and that Jell-O. He goes, did you follow the prep just as we said? Like, yeah. He goes, that was it. That's why you were able to go through this so quickly, and we didn't, you know, we went faster than what it was supposed to be, and man, your results came out very, very, you know, positive in a good way, right? It was torture. The fact that he told me I had to do it in 5 years again is more torture. But now I know that I can do it. And I know that my discretion was fruitful. It was fruitful. Why? Because I followed the doctor's instruction, because I'm not a doctor. Who am I to argue with him? Right? So pay attention to the fact that discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. That Hebrew word, keep, it is the same word we find at Genesis chapter 2. When God placed man in the garden, God gave man the instructions to tend to the garden and to keep the garden. That Hebrew word, samar, is to guard, to protect. Notice how understanding will protect you. Discretion and understanding in this synonymous parallelism used in verse 11 are used interchangeably. I understood how to make a discreet decision. I understood how to use my discernment correctly. I was able to discern between the good options and the bad options, and because I was able to know how to do it, I achieved the best outcome possible. Because it protected me and it guarded me from myself. It protected me and it guarded me from my own lust and my own desires. We go back to James chapter 1, remember, verses 12 through 16. What is that section of James talking about? How sin comes about in us, doesn't it? We are not to say that we are tempted by God, because God does not tempt anyone, because he cannot be tempted by evil, right? So then where does sin come from? Well, we are all enticed from our own desires, says the scripture. Well, brethren, we're always going to be tempted. We're human. But we don't always have to give in. In fact, we never have to give in to temptation. We can resist temptation if we are aware where our weaknesses lie. If I know that I am on a diet, and in that diet I've cut out carbs or sugar or whatever the case may be, Am I going to keep going by the same spots where the nice smell of Krispy Kreme donuts comes in and tempts me? I'm going to try to avoid it, aren't I? Now, if I always have to go there because that's the route that goes to work, okay, that's one thing. But even then, what if I find another route that takes me away from it because I already know that it's going to be hard to resist that temptation? Why put myself through that process of hurt and suffering? I'd rather avoid it. I'd rather prevent it so that I won't put myself through that danger. Verse 12, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. Chapter 1 comes back into mind. The simple listens to the enticer, right? Wisdom speaks and calls to everyone. And as she continues to call out in chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, she is trying to get us to listen to her more than to listen to the advice of the fools, right? If we listen to her, she leads us to the source of wisdom from above, to God. But in leading us to God, she's leading us away from the enticer. She's leading us away from him who speaks perverse things. The closer we get to God, the stronger his voice becomes in our presence. The stronger God's voice becomes in our presence, the further away sin's voice becomes from us. Turn with me now to James chapter 4. By the way, this is why many biblical scholars say that the book of James is the New Testament version of the book of Proverbs. James chapter 4, verse 7 and verse 8. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. What did we just read? To search after wisdom, to hunt after wisdom, is to draw near to God. She will lead us to God. But as she leads us to God, she leads us away from whom? The tempter, the accuser, the lion who is roaring, seeking to devour us, right? Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We will find purity and we will find stability. That's all we've just read in the book of Proverbs, isn't it? So, notice, friends, how we go back to Proverbs, right? And in verse 11, chapter 2, verse 11, right, and forward, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. You learn how to make wise choices as to whom you surround yourself with. Because now you're using your discretion as far as who you want to walk with. You know what? That guy tends to murmur a lot. And he seems to always know things about people that are pretty personal, and he is not unabashed to speak them as if they're nothing. I'm going to keep my distance from that person. That's not someone I want to know details about me. I'm going to keep that person at arm's length. That woman there, she's beautiful, but she doesn't respect her father. She doesn't respect her mother. And worse, she doesn't respect God. Although she is beautiful physically, She's dangerous. She's not going to help me become a faithful, stronger Christian. I'm going to keep my distance from her because if I get too close, I'm going to get burned. My heart is going to betray me. And when I least expect it, I'm going to be in the arms of a Delilah or a Jezebel. Once more, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. So pay attention in verse 12. It leads us away from the sinful man, the sinful wicked man. But then verse 13, he's speaking about another kind of person, isn't he? What is the difference between verse 12 and verse 13? And now do the hard part. They're both wicked. Now, the easy part. How are they wicked? How are the differences of wicked? We got 5 minutes.
On the first one, he was evil. On the second one, he knew righteousness. He knew the right way.
Very good. So one has never respected God. And the other is disloyal. He betrayed God. He's treacherous. He turned his back on God. Biblically speaking, who's worse? Second Peter chapter 2, right? Verses 20 through 22. You can read it at home. After knowing the way of truth, he still went back to wickedness, right? After knowing God and having experienced and received from God His good gifts that come from above, he still showed ingratitude. And he still turned his back on God, even though he knew better. So in verse 11, we see someone who is disobedient by nature, right? In verse 12, we see someone who is rebellious. Verse 11, he who does it out of ignorance. Verse 12, he who does it because he is incredulous. See, in verse 11, there's a possibility, there's hope for the fool who doesn't know he's a fool, right? But there's very little hope for the man who knows he's acting as a fool, and yet he continues to do it anyways. From this man, wisdom leads us away from. 2 John verses 9 through forward gives us an example of this. 2 John verses 9, well, we'll start at verse 7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Now, notice in verse 7, there's one type of deceivers, and then in verse 9, there's another one. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Whether he is a deceiver unknowingly, or whether he has purposely chosen to not abide in the doctrine of Christ, notice the wisdom of God that leads us away from both of them. Abide in the doctrine of Christ. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Remember, wisdom leads us to whom? To God. But in doing so, leads us away from the sinful man. The enticer, right? Unfortunately, our time is up, even though they haven't rang the second bell on us, right? But we gotta be righteous. And next Wednesday is the last Wednesday of the month. Meaning that we will pick this up in 2 weeks, right? If our God gives us life. But I want you to go home and keep reading. Read verses 13 and read it all the way to the end of the chapter. And we will pick this up next week. So notice, from verse 9 and forward, we are now seeing where wisdom leads us away from. So, to find wisdom, true wisdom, wisdom that is from above, is to lead us and find God. But in leading us to God, it is leading us away from the dangers of sin's influence, right? From the dangers of sin's contamination. Are there any questions or any additional comments before we end our class tonight? If you will, please bow with me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father and our beloved God, we thank you once more for another day of life and for the blessing that we have, Father, in this moment to have studied another portion of thy holy word. We thank you, Father, because we, Father, have been blessed to have this entire revelation handed over to us, Father, because of thy Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for granting us this wisdom that comes from thee. And Lord, we ask that you grant us the desire and that thirst, Father, to always want to glean from it. That as your inspired apostle teaches us, that we may be as newborn babes, always desiring the milk that is pure and not adulterated. Father, thank you for these blessings. Forgive us when we have taken them for granted. Forgive us when we have not used them as an opportunity avails us, Father. And Lord, as we prepare to depart from this building, please, Lord, allow us to arrive safely home, Father, as you have allowed us to arrive safely here tonight. For those who have the zeal to be here, but because of their health, are unable to join us, Father, please, Lord, if it be thy will, grant them the blessing to be with us in the next appointed time. Thank you once more, Father, for thy blessings, but above all, thank you for your Son, who willingly gave his life for us, Lord, so that we can have access to that precious grace that grants us justification in your eyes. Father, it is in Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen.